even though we call it Women in Renewable Energy, WIRE really stands for energy, electrification, EVs, emerging technologies, hydro, hydrogen, nuclear. I mean, we partner with everyone.
Welcome to the Flux Capacitor, a podcast about the future of electricity. I'm Francis Bradley of Electricity Canada. This is number 119, episode 119 of the Flux Capacitor. I've been chatting with the industry's business leaders, thought leaders, new market players, and stakeholders, the folks that have been pondering the future of how we create, move, trade, and use energy, and what the future changes will mean for electricity companies, regulators, society, and customers. I hope these conversations have given you, the listener, a sense of the conversations that are taking place in the sector. My guest on the podcast today is...
I'm Joanna Osawe. I'm the President and CEO of WIRE, Women in Renewable Energy.
Joanna joined me for a conversation about WIRE, its growth from a single chapter in Toronto to 39 chapters worldwide. WIRE focuses on advancing women and underrepresented groups in the energy sector through networking events, field trips, podcasts, and awards. We talk about the importance of early engagement with children through the WIRE Junior Ambassadors Program, and Joanna gives us her take on achieving net zero by 2050, international engagement, and the need for continued efforts in diversity, equity, and inclusion. We close the conversation with a great and on-topic book recommendation. Here is my conversation with Joanna Osawe, recorded on Zoom in mid-August 2025. We've been trying to get together for a while on the podcast, and I'm delighted that you're finally able to join me. So let me start off by saying, Joanna, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And let's start off with a little bit about WIRE for the listener. Why don't you give us a little bit of background? Because, I mean, I think you're celebrating a big milestone, aren't you?
We celebrated 10 years. It was in 2023. Right. So I always say, I don't have any children, so this is my baby daughter. So now she's becoming a teenager. She's now 12 and a little bit mouthy, and definitely a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. But WIRE has been part of my entire journey, not my entire journey, but my journey throughout my career. It's been an organization that I get to meet remarkable people such as yourselves, a lot of champions, a lot of allies, a lot of people worldwide that I get to really embark on this remarkable journey with.
So what was the genesis of WIRE a dozen years ago?
So the reason that actually WIRE does exist is because I used to be a commercial wind developer, boots on the ground. So I actually developed a few wind projects for 10 years. And typically on the construction site, I was the only female present. Mm-hmm. My PPE gear didn't fit. My arc flash didn't fit. At times, I definitely was looked as, no, and I mean by all... I don't mean any derogatory, but I was seen as an administrator and as an assistant. However, I was not seen as what I was hired for, which was a commercial wind developer. I was never really accepted into that realm. Right. And for a decade, when I started my career building wind farms, I was in the East Coast for a long time. And then I actually transitioned to the U.S., and at the time, it was in 2008, I built the world's largest wind farm with 14 wind developers. It was 784.3 megawatts. And again, that was a lot of, there's, a few frustrating points. Upon my return, my husband, who you know and you've met, he really encouraged me to start this organization just to help bring a platform, not only for myself, but for others, and also understand what energy, renewables, electrification, and emerging technologies meant. And through that, it's been a great evolution of, again, meeting amazing people worldwide.
Mm-hmm. So started a dozen years ago, started in Toronto. How big is it now?
39 chapters worldwide and growing. We are an NGO, so all the chapters fall under the Canadian NGO, which is here in Toronto. We really want to continue the Canadian journey of being a Canadian NGO, which is really, really important. So I work very closely with different, whether it's Canadian consulates, Canadian embassies, or the High Commissions of Canada and their respective countries, because it really enables me to, again, maintain that really great journey of being Canadian. And also because our Prime Minister's mandate is also to advance the role and recognition of women and underrepresented groups. So it really brings a really nice synergy together.
So how many individual people would you consider now are part of when it started a dozen years ago, it was you. And so it's gone from one to how many today?
We're over 70,000 plus.
70,000? Wow.
Seven
Okay.
zero, yeah. And I mean, I'm able to see it just through our database as well, from people that sign up for our newsletters, people that follow us, chapter leaders. We have different roles and responsibilities, but definitely the volunteer space is what makes the entire community continue to grow. And all these great, amazing people, are helping me grow, or helping us grow, I should rather say, this really great organization and the impact that it's carrying forth.
Okay, so let's because you mentioned your journey. That's a question I ask people who do come on the podcast. And so, what was your journey? You talked a little bit about wind development, but when you were a kid on the playground, is this what you always dreamed of doing?
No, I went to Western University, and my mom was, she's no longer with us, but she was a microbiologist, and her expertise was water, was water. And that's what she did her microbiology studies within. My
Okay.
father was a mechanical engineer, and I actually speak a few languages. So I went into universities, looking at languages and literature, which I was always really fascinated by, and I love books, so it was just a right fit. When I actually, and I remember seeing for the first time in Pickering, right now the wind turbine generator has been decommissioned. But I remember seeing that WTG for the first time, and I was like, wow, what is that? How does that work? And never did I expect that I was actually going to be working in the renewable field. My mother and my father really were an integral part of also me coming into this journey. And I think that the only reason that I actually became a wind developer is I started applying for all these jobs that Francis, I had no business applying for. Honestly, fresh graduate from university, and here I'm applying for VP and CEO roles. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. However, this job that came for my wind development, the only reason I actually was able to even get interviewed is because I spoke French fluently. And so it was the languages that brought me. And back then, back 20 years ago, there is no certification, there's no training. We had no idea what we were doing building wind farms. And I remember fresh out of university, they're like, here's a plane ticket, go build us a wind farm in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia. No idea. I remember sitting in the hotel room being like, what does that mean? Like, you couldn't go on the internet and Google, how do you build a wind farm? So that was an interesting part and fascinating part of also my journey.
So how has it changed, or has it? If 20 odd years ago, you'd go to a site and you were the only woman, and they weren't expecting you to be the developer, but maybe be the person that would fetch the coffee. I imagine there has been some progress since then.
Yeah, I think there has been, but the needle hasn't moved as much as I wish that it should move or have moved. I think that there's I wouldn't be, and by the way, I'm going to preface this because I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for the champions and allies such as yourself. And I've had a lot of sponsors, male sponsors, not mentors, sure, but sponsors are very different than mentors. And due to having all these champions in my career has really elevated to where I am today. Now, I don't still see as many women in executive roles, for instance. I don't see them at the board of directors level. I sit on several boards as well. And when I do get appointed or I do apply, like that is one thing that I'm very I always want to make sure my due diligence is done, is that there are women and underrepresented groups and male allies. I think we still have a little bit of way to go. And because we're sort of focusing on the North American or the Canadian market, even though Wire is global, I call it GLOCO, be global but act local. So what's right for Wire Canada may not be right for Wire Africa, Wire Jordan, Wire UAE, and so forth. So, this is a global problem, not only here in Canada, but on a global scale too, that I see that we still have a lot of work to be done. I am very proud of Canada for being really on the great journey of being diverse, the diversity, equity, and inclusion and justice. And that is why, for me, it's really important to maintain Wire as a Canadian headquarters.
Are you concerned at all? I'm just a bit of a tangent, but we're seemingly seeing a bit of a pullback from DEI in some quarters, and it's becoming political as well in some quarters as well. How concerned do you think we should be about this?
I think we should be very concerned, especially if we're trying to get to net zero by 2050. It should be all hands on deck. Right now, the focus should be on how we help our Earth and how we come together as individuals together and how we can actually make sure that we are solidifying those messages and also working together to get our planet healed. So we have a lot of work to do. So I am concerned.
Well, and I share that concern. The news in this space has not been positive for the last year or two, for sure. I'd like to chat a little bit about the kind of activities that the Wire undertakes. But before jumping into that, the barrier or barriers to actually having that more diverse workplace or environment that as you say, you would have by now would have liked to have seen us a little further ahead. What do you think is holding us back? Is it and you know is it just a simple matter of education and greater understanding, or are there some fundamental things that we need to be thinking about addressing as a society to be able to see a greater equity in this space?
Yeah, that's a great question, and thanks for that inquiry. I think that right now we actually started. It's called the Wire Junior Ambassadors Program. So we started really making sure that children from 6 to 17 are being included in the conversation because these children and youth are able to also educate and raise awareness to their parents. And I think that that's also another. It's a win-win between children, youth, and parents because I think that there's this misconception, with skill trades, for instance. I think that even with engineering, like there's just a lot of misconceptions. And I think that really targeting and raising awareness for younger children is really the key message. And I think that last year on October 15th here in Toronto, Wire Junior Ambassadors Program was launched. We had two little 7-year-old girls that are climate action activists moderate a panel with three CEOs, so Kara Claremont, Farah Alexis from Hydro One, and Susanna Zagar from OBB. And it was really heartwarming. And just most recently, we had a workshop with 40 children on how to make electricity using lemons, using potatoes. We actually even put together RTUs, PLCs. It was really a neat exercise to go through, but it's also, and I also, when you work really hands-on as well, and you try to demonstrate the excitement, because honestly, Frances, we work in a really exciting market, like in a market segment. I love what we do. And I think that it's really important that children and youth see how excited we all are about being in this space.
So how did that panel go when you had 7-year-old ambassadors moderating panels? That must have been interesting.
Yes, a lot of hard questions I have to say that they asked the panelists.
I would have thought it would have been probably surprisingly a robust discussion.
And I think that both Selena and Rhea, who are the moderators, were super excited. And subsequently, Rhea actually did, she moderated another panel at her first conference ever at Agents of Change with EHRC. And she got a standing ovation, this little 7-year-old girl. And you see her, you see how much she's come out of her shell. Like you see how much even her teachers are saying that her confidence level and like she's excited to be in this space. And her mother's also and she works for Toronto Hydro, so also again really embarks on that journey of supporting her child. But that was a very heartwarming panel. And I think that if you're, like I said, some of our panelists were definitely not expecting some of the questions, even though we tried to prep our ambassadors. But they went off script, which is perfectly fine because again, they've got questions, they want to know things. So I thought it went really, really well. Now I don't know how the panelists felt.
Future CEOs, maybe
Right?
40 years down the path. Yeah, interesting stuff.
Exactly.
Is this one of the ones that is now spreading, or is it so far just here in Canada?
No, we actually when we actually have it spread throughout the world in our 39 chapters.
Okay.
We had two 13-year-old girls that are both innovators, do a workshop on what their ideas are, and they're both from Azerbaijan. So that
Wow.
was really neat. We're hosting another webinar with two other young entrepreneurs that are quite ready to make sure that we, as a whole, we're really making sure that we're looking at the 20 net zero 2050 and how we're going to reach it. And they've got actually a lot of advice for the world. So I'm looking forward to that one.
So the focus is clearly on both parts of the name of the organization. It is about women, but it also clearly is all about renewable energy and that decarbonized future.
And I think that, I think there's even though WIRE is, we call it Women in Renewable Energy, WIRE really stands for energy, electrification, EVs, emerging technologies, hydrogen, nuclear. I mean, we partner with everyone and it's very important. The only reason that it's called WIRE is because I come from being a commercial wind developer. And I thought that the acronym, which was kind of co-created as well with a few folks. I thought that was really clever. Now that we're trademarked, it's a little bit hard to go back and rename WIRE. So, but we as a whole, as WIRE as a whole, we support the entire energy segment. So that's important.
All right. So for the listener, maybe a little bit about what kind of things that Wire does, because I mean it's more than just a mailing list. I mean there's you talked about some of the activities with your junior ambassadors, but it's a pretty robust set of programs that you've got out there. So for somebody who is unaware of those activities, how would you describe what it is that Wire actually does?
Absolutely. So the mission is really to advance the role and recognition of women and underrepresented groups in the energy sector. Our programs and initiatives include networking events. We have field trips. I always say that most people don't know the difference between a transmission line versus a distribution line. We work with Indigenous partners, not only here in Canada, but on a global scale. We have podcasts as well. We have spotlights, which actually we recently just featured you and we're going to be marketing. So I'm really excited for that.
I saw
We,
that. I saw
I
that.
know, great job. I loved it. We have a fairly large awards program, which we typically actually partner with different conferences. So one of the awards that is coming up is with ETC, Electricity Transformation Canada, which is a flagship of CANREA. So we're going to be celebrating a woman in renewable energy. We have another partnership with Water Power Canada, so women in hydro. We also partner with Enercan and Clean Energy Ministerial with along with WIRE at the Clean Energy Ministerial every 2 years. So that has been really successful. So there's three awards: Women of Distinction Award, Women Emerging Leaders, and also an organizational award. As mentioned, we do have the Wired Junior Ambassadors program, which we just launched. We are heavily involved on COP or at the UNFCCC.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, well, we've actually had coffee at COP a couple of times.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
Yes,
So
we have.
what's the engagement at COP at the UN climate change conferences? Because there's been a pretty significant role for Wire at a couple of the events that I've been at.
Yes, we well the first yeah we've actually seen each other a few times now at COPs, and I think that's been really relevant, and they've there are a lot of important dialogues. For the last few years, we've actually been engaged not only on site events but main events, speaking engagements,
Yeah.
workshops. We actually had one in Dubai for COP28 that we did alongside with IRENA, the
Okay.
International Renewable Energy National Agency. So we did a workshop on energized equity that Wire put together a report, which basically was talking about the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room, we aggregated all these stories from around the globe. One of the stories, for instance, there's 10 engineers on my team. I'm the only female, but yet I'm tasked with administrative duties. So we talked about the elephant in the room. Now, this year for COP30, we're actually going to reverse this, and we're actually looking at the positivity. Again, because Francis, like you're a very big champion, there's a lot of allies out there. We need to also make sure that, if we're going to come together to make it to net zero by 2050, we want to demonstrate like the fabulous men and allies that are out there. So this year, we're just flipping the script. This year's COP30 is going to be really focused on biodiversity and indigenous communities, which will be hosted in Belém in Brazil. So that
Yes.
will be an interesting one. I'm already getting ready for COP31, which will be in Adelaide in Australia next year, which again, we're looking at some main events. I actually got off the phone with a few folks from IEEE today that we're looking at doing main events for this year with IEA, with also Anna Toni, who is the COP president as well, who's a
Okay.
female. We're going to be looking at hosting something together. But yeah, we're sending a large Wire delegation. We're just waiting for the badge quotas come out, because every year we never know how many badges come out, but we're pretty excited.
It's going to be a challenge this year. I don't think we're going to be attending. It's like people are having to stay on cruise ships in the water, and logistically it's going to be challenging this year as well, isn't it?
It sure is. Actually, as a matter of fact, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to attend. However, I have appointed a head of delegation, Dr. Rahaf, from the UAE, Wire UAE, which will be heading that delegation. But
Okay.
there's a lot of hardships this year.
Yeah.
And I think that there are a lot of folks that I've spoken to in regards to Belém and their trout, how they're going to travel there. Again, Brazil is very large. And as you just pointed out, the accommodations are a huge factor.
Yeah.
Pricing is a huge factor as well. That's something that I've been talking to my team about. It's going to be quite challenging for this year. So, but again, we are still going to be attending. Myself, I'll be attending virtually, really supporting the team that will be boots on the ground for Wire, but I'll be attending virtually.
And so what is it that you're trying to achieve in the engagement at COP?
So it depends on which speaking engagements we have at our main events, but it really
Right.
primarily is on the diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice that we are
Okay.
really trying to make sure that we're speaking about. So whether last year actually at in Baku in Azerbaijan, we did a really great a great event with the Canadian Pavilion, which had myself, Michelle, and a few others, but it was really focused also on the nuclear side of things. Because I think that, we are much in partnership with WIN, Women in Nuclear. We do a lot with WIN. So I think that it's also making sure that people, especially from COP28 in Dubai, when it was announced that nuclear is seen as a clean source of energy. And I think it's also educating folks that, it's we're not only renewables, but again, just all of us working together.
Gotcha. All right, 39 chapters. Of those 39 chapters, somebody who's not familiar with Wire, which of those chapters would they find to be the most surprising or unusual? Of all of them, what's the one where people would say, wow, there's a chapter there as well? Where would that be?
I would say in the MENA region in the Middle East. We actually just opened up a new chapter in Saudi Arabia in Riyadh
Oh,
with
wow.
another lady doctor that is just phenomenal. We are looking at Doha in Qatar as well. And so I think that sometimes there is that, because we, and I think it's really important for all of us to come together. I mean, and I don't want to dive into feminism, but feminism is very different in North America than it is in the MENA region, than it is in the U in Europe and so forth. So there's different obstacles around the world that women and underrepresented groups are facing, and we go where we are, or Wire goes where we are invited. And I don't want to push Wire on a certain country that A doesn't want us, and B that I can't support, because it always has to be a win-win between Wire headquarters and the other chapters throughout the world.
And then you presumably you've got a board of directors that you work with. I'm saying presumably. I know you've got a board of directors. Do you want to talk a little bit about your board? Because I mean, there's some amazing people on the board as well.
Yes, I have an amazing board. I keep it quite small, but I do have a very large advisory committee. I'm about to appoint another individual into the board of directors, which I'm really looking forward. Julia Cushing, who works for Potencia Renewables, has been with Wire. Oh my gosh, I still remember back in 2014. I think that we tried to do a networking event, and three people showed up, including the speaker and Julia and myself. So that was. So there's been a lot of growth.
Yeah, you've come a long way.
Alexandra Modelevska, who I've known forever, she's been fantastic. Dr. Sanjita Muri, who's also been with Wire forever. And like I said, I'm going to be appointing another individual very shortly, which I'm really excited to make an announcement probably this Q3, Q4 at the latest.
And then so we were talking about 2050, and the challenge that we're facing. Just to get a bit of a read in terms of your level of confidence that we're heading in the right direction. Is that going to prove to be an elusive target, or is it just a stretch target that you think we're going to get there?
If we're going to be honest with each other, I think it's going to be very complicated to get to net zero by 2050. I think we're going to have to look at a different year. I think that there's a lot of obstacles that we as a whole have to come or overcome, I should rather say. So I don't necessarily see it unless things really progressively move. 2050 is in 25 years, and look how much work we have to do.
And
And I
from an infrastructure build standpoint, 25 years is right around the corner.
right, exactly. So I'm concerned, yeah.
How concerned are you that we will or will not have a more equitable sector out to 2050? I think is your confidence a little higher on that front, given that this is really, this is your wheelhouse, is the equity within the sector.
Well, here's I think that with organizations such as Wire and different partners within the world, I think that I feel positive about it. I at Wire, we partner with a lot of different folks. And the reason I partner with different, and when I partner, I say in-kind partnership with NGOs, charities, foundations, academia, governments, right? And the reason that I like to partner with everyone is because, like, we need to raise awareness that each other's organizations exist, because people need to know what's out there. I had no idea that, when I was in university, for instance, sure, there's clubs, sure, there's, different affiliations or affinity clubs that you could join, but I never found like a networking platform. And I think that, and I always encourage students and youth, your network is your net worth. Start getting involved as soon as you can. And that's why going back to the Wire Junior Ambassadors program is so important, because the engagement, the earlier the better. And also, I think that once you start speaking with people, not only that, it raises not only your confidence, your education, and we get to learn from each other. Like I was saying to you earlier on, like even throughout your podcast, the lady from the steel company who was I was blown away with what I learned. And I think that, again, having these relationships or affiliations or partners throughout the world, it's only bringing more awareness, And there's a lot of appetite from the different countries towards Canada and everything that's happening. I mean, it's, and I'm going to use this pun intended, but it's pretty electrifying where we're at and energetic. So I think that, Canada holds a very, is a very special country where there's a lot of best practices that other countries can learn from.
So, if I got this right, one of your pieces of advice to young people is that your network is your net worth.
Yes.
I did hear that, right?
You sure did.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, final
Yes.
question, same question I ask everybody who comes on the podcast is I am asking for a book recommendation, and we assemble these book recommendations onto our Flux Capacitor book club. It also feeds my own interest, and not only do I, I'm interested to get a sense of what people read, because it kind of gives me a bit of an insight, I think, into folks, but it also gives me my own personal reading list. So, Joanna, what book should we be adding to our book club list this week?
Okay, I think that so Annette Verschuren, who we both know, has a really great book out there that actually she signed. It's called Leading and Succeeding in Business and in Life, Bet on Me. I definitely am a huge fan and proponent of Annette. We're actually going to be giving away her signed books to the Wire community. So that one is definitely one to reread. I think it's really falls onto relevant times, especially with the political landscape that we're facing. So definitely, and I love her title, Bet on Me. And I think that that's one that I would definitely recommend. And I'm very proud of her for doing this and stepping up. And yeah, that's definitely a great book.
Okay. Well, not only is it a terrific recommendation, but I think this is the first time that the recommendation, the author being recommended, is somebody that's known to both me and the person that's recommending it. So we're going to add this to our reading list. It's Bet on Me, Leading and Succeeding in Business and in Life, by Annette Verschuren.
You got it.
What a great recommendation, and really appreciate that, and appreciate you taking the time. I know we've been, chatting on, goodness, for years now. We said, hey, we should, and it's usually just, for the listener's sake, it's usually at the tail end of a conversation. I don't know, on the floor of a conference, or in line at an event, after chatting for 15 or 20 minutes. I always say, man, we should do this as a podcast. So I'm glad we finally did actually get to record one of our conversations to put it out there. So, Joanna, thank you very much. Really appreciate you joining the pod.
Thank you, Francis. Thank you for your valuable time and for everything that you do, and thanks for always being a champion and ally out there.
Terrific. Thank you. For those that have been with the podcast since the beginning, and those that have joined along the way, thanks for listening. Please take the time to rate the podcast on whatever platform you use to listen, and let me know what you think of the Flux Capacitor. You can find me on Instagram as the Brad Bradley, on Blue Sky as at Francis Bradley, on LinkedIn, and through our website at electricity.ca. The website for this pod is thefluxcapacitor.ca, and it includes links for this episode on the show page, this being episode 119. And while you're there, check out the book club page, which provides info on and links to the books that have been recommended by guests on the Flux Capacitor, including Joanna's recommendation, Bet on Me, Leading and Succeeding in Business and in Life, by Annette Verschuren. And let's continue the electricity conversation on our Facebook page, on Instagram, and at electricity.ca.